Now, you met him just as one of the people you knew in the anarchist circle.
Yeah. See? He says to me, you should be a nurse. I said, how can I be a nurse? I says, I don't know anything. I'm not educated. He says, never mind education. You don't get all the care education. You don't get the instruction. Can you find me there?
No, I don't know. Which is you?
Huh?
Which one is you?
And I had a sweetheart at that time.
Can we keep these out so I can...
Yeah. This is Chicago. Mm-hmm. I wrote to him.
I see. And where was he? Was he in Chicago?
He was in Chicago. And then later he went to Seattle, Washington with my brother. And that's what I followed.
Oh, now that was who? That was your first...
My first husband.
Okay. Now, so you lived at home...
Oh, I want to give you these postcards.
Oh, thank you.
I don't even... Somebody gave them to me.
Oh, thank you very much. So you lived at home till when then?
So I think it was in, I don't know, 1921.
No, I mean in Chicago there.
In Chicago. Well, I went to Seattle, and I went to Seattle.
Well, when did you get into the nursing school?
Well, 1904, I think it was. 1908.
So you were working in the tailor shop.
Yeah, I was working in the tailor shop.
Until then?
Yes.
And your social life, you were involved with the anarchists?
Yeah.
And were you still working with Jane Addams then, or you were no longer?
Oh, well, I was working with Jane Addams, but I dropped out because I got interested in other things.
Uh-huh.
I was saying, with the social, with the working circle, with the union, with the... And now with the school, and they wanted me to go to the East. Why are you doing it in the tennis shop? You should be a nurse.
So until about 1908, about 1906, you started getting involved more with the other groups.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then did he pay for you to go to nursing school?
No, he didn't pay.
How were you able to afford to go?
Well, I didn't have to pay anything, no tuition. He got me in there, he was on the staff.
Okay, I see.
The doctor was on the staff.
And then how long did you go?
Well, I went about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I started in January, I think it was. And I was always very attentive and very affectionate and very kind to people. And I was very sincere. I was very sincere about things. And I did so much work in the hospitals there. I took such good care of the patients. I had one woman, she weighed about 250 pounds, and I'd have to pick her up, put a pen under her. Men, I'd take care of men, I'd take their penis and put it in the bottom so they could urinate. All these things. Until one day the doctor said to me, he says, which is the patient and which is the nurse? I look worse than the patient. He says, and it was in July, in Chicago in July. It's very, very. So the superintendent, this one, superintendent, she says to me, Mrs. Rebecca says, you lay off for the hot weather, and whenever you come back, and it's a 6 months credit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, we have a dormitory right beside the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work 12 hours a day. Be on duty 12 hours a day. And at night, if there's any case came up, like an emergency case or labor case, we had to be there and watch it, you see. It was very, very hard. I liked it, I enjoyed it, but it was very hard. So after that, my husband, he went to Seattle. My brother came to Chicago, from Chicago, and he went to Seattle.
Well, now where did you meet your husband?
In Chicago.
Yeah. Was he involved?
Was he an anarchist then? He worked in a tail shop. Mm-hmm. He was kind of a anarchist inclined.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, you just met him in the social life you were involved in?
Well, yes, it was a little bit. Yes, it was. He also helped in the IWW quite a bit, yes.
Now, you met him before you went to the nursing school?
Met him about that time.
I see.
And then he says, I wrote on the card. On the card, I said, in reading, if you can. I can't see well, my eyes are so bad.
Now, before you went to join him in Seattle, did you live together with him in Chicago?
Well, no, partially. Mm-hmm. I'm not official, but, mm-hmm. but my father drove me out of the home because my father saw me us hugging each other. And he says, he wouldn't have a daughter sitting there hugging a man. So he drove me out of the house.
And that was after you were in nursing school or before that?
And I was in nursing school at that time. So then I lived with somebody else also in Klein, like as I was, and then I lived in Hong in Maywood, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And they asked me to come and live with them. I lived with them for a while.
And did you go back into tailoring then again?
Well, no, I worked a little, not much, but then when I went back to Seattle, Washington, for a while he worked in a tailor shop, and then I became pregnant, and he wanted to have that we should have a home for the child. So we went up to Seattle, to Alaska, in 1911. We went up to Alaska.
You left Chicago in 1910?
Yeah.
Now, there was a big strike in Chicago in 1910. Had you already left by then?
No, I was in the strike.
Oh, well, you were involved in the strike. Can you tell me a little bit more about the strike before we talk about it?
Well, what can I tell you? We all stuck. We used to go down in the winter, walk down in the snow. Mr. Jerome Poser was telling me about the other day about it. They'd give us a nickel. You know, that time you'd go in the pub and get a drink, a beer, and a sandwich, a nickel. Well, they'd give us a nickel, and we'd walk down to Van Buren, that's where most of the factories were, and we'd pick it. And sometimes it was so cold and windy, we'd have to hold on to the railings so we shouldn't be blown away. And we went to the picket.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was the big strike? There was a big strike when they walked out of Hart, Schaffner, and Marx in 1910. Were you there then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. I told you. Jane Addams. There's a film. I don't know when they call it the Heritage, a film. They showed it. When we had our 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. they showed it. When we all walked downtown, striking, Jane Addams was with us, and they turned the hose on us.
Now, when was that?
That was in 1910, I think it was. Mm-hmm. In the winter time, cold, very cold weather. So they turned the hose on us, and we all walked home with Christmas. They showed it on the heritage. Christmas hanging down from the water.
And this was all the workers in the dressmaking shops, in the tailoring shops.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So?
And it was all what they taught in the garment industry that they called the general strike, not what we mean by general strike when we can see out. But it was that all the garment.
Yeah. Some of the strikers were doing this. It was in 19, the Wealth of the Workman's Circle. Let me go up and see if you see.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Most of the women.
Uh-huh.
That's me.
Uh-huh.
You see. And this man was quite a speaker. And I don't think there's anybody that's alive in that.
Okay, I want to hold this one out too, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Now, so in this, was that the only big labor parade that you can remember? Was this one where they turned the hoses on you?
Well, there was many others, but I remember that one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I say we had a rent strike, and Alexander Berkman was with us.
What happened with the rent strike? How did it start?
It was a depression time. I don't remember what day it was.
It must have been about 1920,
no.
1913.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you weren't in Chicago then anymore, were you? No, it would be earlier.
It was early times. They were raining. They were raining the rain, mm-hmm. And because it wasn't making much, so we had a rain strike.
Now, how did that begin? Who organized it?
Well, Ben Reitman was quite active in that, and we went out and we were arrested. We were few of us were arrested, and they had no charge against us. And so I can't remember. It would take 1,001 nights to tell you all. But I'm a little bit confused now. I can't remember all the dates. Sometimes things come to me that I didn't even dream about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you know people, like there was the Women's Trade Union League in Chicago, and Agnes Nestor. Did you know her?
Mm-hmm.
Agnes Nestor? She was, I think, a glove maker. And she was involved in trying to help organize women.
No, see, we worked along different lines. They worked along their trade, and we worked along ours,
mm-hmm.
You see. So we really had nothing in common. And then after it started, the communism came in, and so they made quite a division, you know.
Yeah, that was later.
Yeah, later.
Now, so you mentioned before that since you spoke English, that you went and sold literature and things on the street corner. What was the literature? Was it from one of the unions or what?
It was a socialist party.
Mm-hmm.
Socialist party for the union, yeah. You know, I belong to the socialist party, Indian Jabs. And human, and the whole lot I belonged to. There was a lot of them belonged to, at that time, they belonged to the Socialist Party because they were doing the work. We used to meet, there was a fellow by the name of Morrow. We used to meet downtown in some temple downtown. We used to meet the Masonic Temple or something. Mm-hmm. We used to meet. Lena Morris, Lena Morris, did you know? Lena Morrow. She was quite an active woman. And so we all did some work, and we all distributed. I worked with Margaret Sanger.
Now, when was that?
I don't know.
I mean, that was while you were in Chicago, though.
Yes, she got.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And was there a clinic or something?
Well, you know what Margaret Sanger was.
Right. Did she set up a clinic though in Chicago?
She was for the birthing home, and birthing home,
right.
and abortions and all. Now, you see, this was really in Seattle. You were in Seattle.
Oh. Okay. Well, I'll write that down. When we talk about Seattle next time, I'll ask you about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in Chicago, I think, it sounds like you were involved with first with Jane Addams, and then you got less involved and became more involved with socialists.
Socialists.
And then the anarchists.
Yeah, anarchists, yeah. Because the socialists became very mild, the way they came in this way. They didn't take enough interest in the working people.
Mm-hmm.
Although I saw literature in the corner, I think this fella here, Morris, Larry Riskin, he was a fella who used to sell a lot of literature.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the corners, and I used to stand up on the soapbox and hand him out.
Now, were most of the people in the workman's circle, were most of the young women anarchists, or were they socialists?
Well, some of them were socialists, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
But were they very advanced thinking women? Did they all believe in free love?
Yes. Most of them did, and some didn't. And most believed in free love, and they lived free love.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing nicely, very well. You can't live, but as some people, most of them believe free love is you have a lover today and you have another lover tomorrow. That's not free love. That's promiscuity. Mm-hmm. We didn't have promiscuity. We have free love. We love. We love people. We love them forever. You see?
So most of these young women are now in Jewish households. That must have been very, not very well accepted by their families, that they would go live with a man because they loved
him. Well, that's it. My father threw me out.
Mm-hmm.
My father threw me out. Because I'm there to sit there with a man and hang him. Hmm?
So, but while you lived in Chicago, did you and your husband ever live together before you went to see him? Did you live together in Chicago?
We lived together for a while, yes, with some people. But this man's brother,
mm-hmm.
and had a store in Seattle, and the back of it, they had a few rooms. And we lived in one of their rooms.
In Seattle or Chicago?
This was in Seattle.
That was in Seattle. Now, what did the Workman's Circle do? Were they interested in organizing?
Organizing workers' circle. They, at one time, they wouldn't allow anybody that was in business or anything. Now, everybody knew about them.
The people, all working people.
Working people. Out of the ring, Workman's Circle. The workers organized for the good of themselves, for the good of labor, to organize workers. If they had manufacturers come in, they couldn't do that, or business people.
Mm-hmm.
So they had just workers, because now, as I say, we have workers, we have business people too.
Now, did the each person, though, would be involved in organizing work, whatever they worked in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Now, by the time you left Chicago, what was the situation with the unions in the tailoring when you left?
Well, it was on the way, very well organized, on the way to being organized, very well everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you, did you work at all in tailoring again after you went to the nursing school?
Yes, and I got through and I had to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had to go back to work.
And did you still have trouble losing jobs?
Yes, I still had trouble. People told me to keep quiet and mind my own business, into my business. And so, I had to keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were arrested in Chicago two times then.
Yeah, let's see. Yes, I was arrested like...
In Chicago?
Yeah.
But the second time, they didn't put you in jail at all?
No, they dismissed the case because it was false, under false pretense.
Now, you mentioned something last time about the Tailors Union. Now, was that in Chicago?
Tailors Union? Well, yeah, they had a Tailors Union, but in Seattle, Washington, they had quite a Tailors Union.
Mm. Oh, so the Tailors Union was not in Chicago?
No.
Now, when you went to talk to the women about the unions, you went to the homes always, you didn't go to the factories.
You
went to their homes.
To their homes, yes. I wasn't always working at that time. One time in Seattle, this was. I went up to a woman, and they lived upstairs on the second floor. And I went up. I had a baby then. My youngest son was about a year old. I walked up and looked at him, my arms, and I talked to her. How important it is for women to be organized And she says, no, we don't put a baby in their arms, you come and talk. I said, why not? He said, isn't it hard? Yes, he says, nothing to your heart. If I can talk to you, it's not hard. So that's what I did. That was me.
Well, in Chicago, when you were going to the homes, when the bakers and cigar makers were organizing, how did the men react to your going around talking?
The men didn't mind you. The men didn't mind you. Oh, yeah, because the men wanted to organize, but they had to obey their women. Mm-hmm. They had their families, and the women, they had to work. And the women would cry, says, but I was work, you need to get a dollar a week. It's very good. But they were glad to see that the women came around and organized and helped to organize. Mm-hmm. They were very, very, very well. The women were well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the young women who were in the working circle, were they all legal trained, or what were they working in?
No, not all. Some of them worked in the business, some worked, some of them worked in clothes, some of the men worked. No, they didn't work, but they were glad to see that. They were willing that we organized. They were all in favor of organization, all of them.
In the needle place itself,
trying to organize in Chicago with that time? In Home Colony. You know that,
who that woman is? Mrs.
Foster.
William Foster's wife?
Yeah. William Foster, when he sees a car go by with a trolley, all sort of me. And when I go for the trolley
now. Now, when you left home then, in Chicago, were your brothers and sisters all working at that by that time or not?
Well, one of my brothers, my older brother, because he's there now, he was 2.5 years younger than I. He worked in the stockyards. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. For very little money. And how they worked. Oh, well, he tried to organize and he thought. Yeah.
And well, how about your sisters? Were they involved in radical activities?
No.
Just you and your brother?
Just me and my brother. Another brother, he died in 64. He was active in the amalgamation. Later in the
network.
Yeah, he died. He was a manager of a joint board. Uh-huh.
But the rest of the family weren't really very radical people.
No. The other day when I got the letter from the union, telling them, the letter I got. I don't know where I got that done with that letter, but I got. I got a letter from Bishop Kingley. I wrote Bishop Kingley, we have now a new manager in the amalgamated. The others retired. So I wrote, I painted the hand with a bouquet, and I handed him a bouquet. And I said, welcome. And then the inside, I wasn't told them who I was, this one it was, and I belonged to the Modern Magazine there and then. And I knew Sydney, and I knew Hillman, and I knew Bessie, and I knew. Well, he says it's the most beautiful letter that I've got. It's now very, very high. And I told him, I said, it's a real union, it's all a miserable union. I was the only rebel in the family. I am a brother.
Now, was your brother involved with the anarchists and socialists too?
No, he was not. No, he was by himself. He was close. I showed you a lucky hero to Jane Adams. I mean, to Eleanor, he was welcome back. He was a rebel, but he never was active in it.
Now, were you. Did you first meet Sidney Hillman in the Socialist Party in Chicago then? Or you didn't meet until after the Amalgamated was formed?
Oh, I met him rather at the Father Foreman gardens, mm-hmm. Yes, because mm-hmm. I worked in Bessie Room in 1905,
86. Oh, I see. Where did you work with her?
I worked with her in some school shop.
I see. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we talked like in the museum, of course, and all that, but then I left the garden mm-hmm. and I didn't say
anything. Now, in the shops, which were usually men, were there very many, were the women who worked in the shops, did the women talk Indianism usually or just the men?
Well, there's a man, and the men would like the women talk. They said, you want your own, you shut up. But here, when I became a chair lady in 1949, the men didn't like it. Mm-hmm. A lot of men didn't like it. They didn't mean something. A woman chair lady.
So they didn't like the fact that you were a woman. Not that you were talking about unions, it was that you were a woman talking about.
Yeah, but yeah, talking about women. The men didn't like women. They thought men, women had no right to work with women. Yeah.
This was true of even the men who were interested in unions.
Yeah. Well, that's why Miss Leonard Lady called me a rarity, because I'm a rarity. I'm rare. I'm only one out of many. One out of many is somebody else. Mm-hmm. One out of many that would do things.
Now, when you worked with Bessie Hillman, was she already married to Hillman then or not?
The what?
When you were working with Bessie Hillman in Chicago, was she already married to Hillman at that time?
No. Uh-huh. Bessie Abramovitz.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you just worked in the shop together?
Yeah, we
worked together. And did you try to organize that shop?
Well, we talked unionism, and I organized it. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any union training schools in Chicago at that time?
No, they had no things. No. You see, at that time, when I got involved, he might speak out and all that he wanted to get away, so. Mm-hmm. Going to Seattle and then Seattle I got tied up with the IWW.
Do you remember anything else about the period in Chicago that maybe we should talk about?
No, I don't remember. The only thing that I know of Seattle was about the chain evidence. Mm-hmm. Main attraction for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the place that I spent most time in.
What kind of effect do you think she had on you?
What kind of impression?
How did she affect your life, do you think?
Oh, very much, very much, very much impressive. You know, pictures of me, I was quite a few of us work together, but I was the only one that had the day there, on the day and night. I was working, but after work, I'd come there, and Saturday I'd be there, Sunday I'd be there, always doing something. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the other women connected with Hull House?
Yes, I remember them all gone, all day, everybody. Everybody was gone.